Now hear Matthew's version of the story. From chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
When was the last time you saw somebody's physical appearance change radically? And I'm not just talking about a really good weight loss program. It seems to me that something phenomenal, or at least peculiar, is happening on that mountaintop, either to Jesus or to the disciples and the way they see him. Did Jesus undergo some sort of metamorphosis that caused him to be radiant, to shine like the sun, to have an aura, to beam? Or do you think that maybe he always was radiant, but people didn't really notice until his followers, Peter, James, and John, go up to the mountain and literally see Jesus in a new light? I suspect that all of us have had times when we've observed a change in the visage of a friend or a family member after they've had a life-changing experience. There are outward manifestations of inner changes that our friends and our families sometimes notice in us. I had two people this morning after the first service come up and say, "That moment of transformation for me was my journey with cancer." Assuming for the moment that Jesus did change, why is that important? Does it mean that he was surrounded by or was emanating divine light? Did something in his life shift at that moment that caused him to appear to glow? Does it mean that it was a moment of transformation for him, just as was his baptism by John the Baptizer? You know, it's interesting. God speaks at the moment of transfiguration, just as God speaks at Jesus' baptism, saying, "This is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased." God uses exactly the same phrase. Well, really, the gospel writers record the same phrase. Christians are asked to be baptized, just as Jesus was. It's one of the two sacraments that we observe in our churches. But has anybody ever asked you to go through some sort of a metamorphosis or a transformation? Maybe. You know, when we join Plymouth, we enter a covenant and we commit ourselves unreservedly to God's service, which is a big deal. But it isn't exactly asking us to go through a transformation. And then a few weeks, you'll hear that sometimes thorny line in the Gospel of John, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Or in the language of the King James Version, "being born again." No, I am not about to invite you forward for an altar call, so let your blood pressure drop right back down. But I'm also not going to dismiss the idea of you having a spiritual transformation, or many spiritual transformations, being born again and again and again and again. I'm not going to try to tame the idea of your having a metamorphosis. Marcus Borg writes, "The metaphor of rebirth, being born of the Spirit, is an image of radical transformation. An old life," he writes, "has been left behind and a new life has begun. Being born again is utterly central to Christianity, one of the main images for the goal and the promise of Christian life. It describes our transformation and ultimately the transformation of the world. For those who are born of the Spirit of God, as known in Jesus, share God's passion for a more just and peaceful world." So it's not just about us. It's about God's world. Okay, by a show of hands, how many of us really want to be changed, transformed, pushed out of our comfort zone by the Spirit of transformation? There are a few of us. Yeah. It's not easy. It's not without consequences. Transformation means changed hearts, changed minds, changed lives. What would you expect if you yourself saw Jesus face to face? If you saw Jesus in the flesh, would you expect to be transformed by that experience? Many years ago, I was in a therapy group at Stanford for adult children of alcoholics, of which I am one. And for me, that was a transformative experience, and it helped me to get a fresh start on my journey, and it marked a new beginning. And I know others of you who have gone through the process of recovery, and it can be an incredible transformation, physically, spiritually, intellectually, emotionally. So what are the moments of transformation in your life? When are the times that have turned you in new directions or offered you a fresh start? It doesn't have to be recovery. It could be the birth of a child. It could be starting a new career, finding a hidden talent or a new avocation. But having a fresh start on life because of a new relationship with God is something incredibly powerful and different. Most of you know that Plymouth's mission statement says, "It's our mission to worship God and to help make God's realm visible in the lives of people individually and collectively. And we do this," remember the dance? "We do this by inviting, transforming, and sending." You guys didn't get to see the hip motion because I'm in the pulpit, but enjoy. That middle element, transformation, can be really difficult, don't you think? Especially if we think, well, I'm done transforming. I'm done being transformed into a new person, or I don't have any need to change. You know the old joke? How many congregationalists does it take to change a light bulb? What do you mean, change? The kingdom or realm of God is about the transformation of this world into the world as it would be if God were immediately in charge, instead of what we have now, which is basically the forces of empire as it was in Jesus' day. Doing the work of justice is about transformation. Loving the people who some others feel are unlovable is about transformation. Moving away from self-interest and from radical individualism is about transformation. Giving yourself to something bigger than consumerism and acquisition is transformational. We cannot try and tame transformation without taming the kingdom of God. And we won't be part of that realm of God unless we are transformed and born of the Spirit. And that requires openness. Openness to new beginnings, to change, to the transformation of our lives, to letting go of some old burdens and some old baggage, to adopting some fresh ways of practice, some fresh ways of being, to fresh ways of being Christian. We're about to enter the 40-day season of Lent, which mirrors Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness. It was a period that for him was anything but tame. A period of radical transformation for Jesus, even without the radiance that he experienced later in the Transfiguration story. Wilderness can be a place for transformation, where we come face to face with our truest selves. Perhaps rather than being seen as a period of penitence and self-flagellation, we can see Lent as a transformative journey into the wilderness, a time of gestation, of metamorphosis, of new beginnings, of being within the chrysalis, ready to emerge, reborn. And here's the cool part. We don't have to do it alone. We have companions on the journey. We have companions on this pilgrimage of transformation. So I invite you to open yourselves up as we finish this season of Epiphany and walk together toward the season of Lent. Those 40 days in the wilderness. May you be transformed in the midst of your life, knowing that new beginnings are possible. May you see change as an opportunity instead of as a threat. May you be blessed to uncover new truths about yourself. May you know that you are journeying with kindred spirits through the wilderness. May it be so. Amen.